You know that feeling, right? You want to be genuinely prepared, especially when it comes to keeping your critical tech humming along smoothly. But the thought of slogging through endless docs or wrangling everyone for those massive incident response simulations, it can feel totally overwhelming sometimes.
That's precisely the challenge we're diving into today, how to gain that crucial readiness without, well, without the information overload. We're going deep on a problem many, many teams face, getting truly prepared for those technical incidents that, they inevitably happen.
Absolutely. And the traditional answer, it's always been the big tabletop exercise, you know, the scene, gather people from all over, walk through some hypothetical crisis. But as our source material, an article by Rob Van Linde points out, these can be, well, they can be a bit of a beast to organize and maybe not always that effective.
The article really nails the limitations, doesn't it? Just the sheer complexity of coordinating schedules, different departments. It means these exercises often end up being pretty infrequent.
Right, like maybe once or twice a year, if you're lucky.
Exactly. And because you've got such a wide range of folks in the room, the focus tends to stay, pretty high level.
You're talking broad strokes, communication plans, who calls who. But the real nuts and bolts, the technical stuff that actually causes the headaches with our core systems, that often gets kind of glossed over.
It's a bit like prepping for a mountain climb by only talking about the snacks you're going to pack,
Good analogy.
which, can definitely leave some serious gaps in a team's day-to-day ability to respond, especially with today's intricate systems, microservices all talking to each other, complex cloud stuff.
For sure. But there's this really interesting alternative that's getting some traction, and that's what we're really focusing on today. Micro tabletop exercises. Think of them as more targeted, more frequent, and way more technically focused for building resilience. Van Linde's article frames it really well. It's about precision over scale.
Precision over scale. I like that.
And we think it could be a real shortcut for listeners looking to, strengthen their team's incident response game.
So our goal in this deep dive is really to explore how these micro tabletop exercises work, how they provide a more practical and maybe ultimately a more effective approach for teams.
Especially those managing complex tech.
Getting ready for and actually handling incidents, we'll be leaning heavily on Rob Van Linde's insights and including this fascinating bit about using AI to help run them.
Okay, let's really dig into this idea then. Micro tabletops. The first thing that really jumps out is this fundamental shift in approach. We're moving away from those huge, maybe once a year simulations that try to cover everything towards these much smaller, much more regular drills. Van Linde even calls them sprints for incident response.
That really clicked for me.
That's a great way to put it. Instead of those marathon planning sessions, you're looking at a short, focused bursts of practice.
And this change in frequency, in scale, it brings some key advantages. First, the scenarios become laser focused. Think specific systems, like maybe your payment gateway or a specific critical database or perhaps that caching service that keeps acting weirdly.
Right, there's not just the system is down. It's more like, what happens if our connection to the user database suddenly gets really slow? That feels way more relevant for the engineers, you know?
And then there's the time factor. Ben Linda mentions they can be super short, like 10 minutes sometimes. Maybe up to a couple of hours max.
Wow, 10 minutes. That's a massive difference compared to blocking out half a day or a whole day for a traditional tabletop.
Huge difference. And that shorter duration, it makes them incredibly practical for busy teams.
You could actually do one over lunch.
Or set up a regular weekly practice slot without completely derailing everyone's work. And because they're so focused and brief, you can actually dive deep into the technical weeds. We're talking specific issues like a subtle memory leak in a container, or a certain API endpoint starting to throw errors, or I don't know, a deployment step that keeps causing trouble. This lets the tech teams really flex their diagnostic muscles, their problem-solving skills on the kind of stuff they actually face day to day.
Which really is the core benefit, isn't it? Building that ingrained, almost muscle memory response capability. Van Linde emphasizes that these micro tabletops are fantastic for iterative problem solving. And crucially, for finding those blind spots.
The gap.
The gaps in your existing playbooks or maybe issues with the tools you rely on. You often don't spot those until you're trying to react to something realistic, even if it's small.
That's such a key point. To make it concrete, imagine, say, a DevOps team. They do a quick 30-minute drill scenario. Sudden spike in failed login attempts.
Okay.
What are their first checks? Who do they ping? Which dashboards do they pull up? Or maybe a security team spends just 15 minutes on an alert about weird network traffic. What's the initial containment plan?
They're very targeted, very quick feedback loops. Leads to faster learning, I guess.
Exactly. Quicker learning cycles.
Okay, so the value of these focused, frequent drills seems pretty clear. But the article throws in this really intriguing twist. Using AI, specifically ChatGPT, as a facilitator.
Ah, yes, the AI angle.
That sounds like it could seriously lower the barrier to entry, right? Make these exercises way more accessible for more teams.
It's really interesting. The idea is creating this like highly adaptable, always available facilitator. Van Linde lays out a very practical step-by-step way to basically build your own AI incident commander.
Build your own AI commander. Okay, how does that work?
Well, step one is defining the exercise parameters, giving your custom GPT a clear name and purpose, something like a microservice TTX facilitator or API gateway drill runner. Give it a job title, basically.
Gotcha. So it knows its role.
Right. Then comes the crucial part, the instructions you give it, really specific instructions.
Like what?
Like telling it to always ask for the exercise duration up front, say 10 to 60 minutes, keeps it focused. Respects people's time.
Smart. You don't want it rambling on forever.
No. And you absolutely have to ground the scenarios it creates in the reality of your tech stack.
Okay.
So you might tell it, like Van Linde suggests, our tutoring SaaS uses Python microservices on Docker within AWS. Give it that context.
Why is that so important?
Because otherwise it might just hallucinate problems that aren't relevant or even possible in your setup. You need plausible root causes based on your systems.
Right. No alien invasions crashing the database then.
Exactly. Keep it real. And the final key instruction. The AI's role is purely facilitator, meaning it gives scenario updates, throws in new data based on what the team says they're doing, but it doesn't solve the problem for them, not unless they specifically ask for, say, a hint or clarification.
Okay, so it guides, doesn't give answers.
Precisely. Step two is crafting a scenario template. This means feeding the GPT even more specifics about your systems, how they connect.
More detail.
Yeah. Van Linde's example is great. We run a tutoring platform. There's a user service on EC2, session management using Lambda, PayPal for payments, databases SQL, Redis for caching.
Wow, okay. Quite specific.
The more specific you are, the better the AI gets at creating relevant incidents. Things like maybe the PayPal integration starts failing or the database latency spikes, stuff that could actually happen in that system.
So you're basically giving it the ingredients for potential fires in your own kitchen.
That's a good way to put it. Then step three, run the exercise.
How does that kick off?
The GPT starts by presenting an initial scenario. Van Linde gives this example. It's 10:30 a.m., payment failures are spiking. CloudWatch shows high memory usage on the PayPal service instance. What's your next move?
Okay, straight into the action. Time pressure, clear symptoms.
Yep, and then the team discusses what they do, just like a real incident. Okay, let's check PayPal's status page first. No, let's look at our own service logs. And based on what they choose, the GPT reveals new info. If they check PayPal status, the AI might say, PayPal reports no issues. If they check logs, it might reveal specific error codes or metrics.
So it's interactive. The scenario evolves based on the team's actions.
Exactly. It mirrors that investigation process much more closely than just reading a static document.
That sounds way more dynamic, definitely more engaging. Okay, so they work through it, simulated, crisis averted. Then what?
Step four,
the debrief and improvement phase. This is critical. At the end, the GPT provides feedback.
What kind of feedback?
Van Linde lists a few types. What went well, like you guys quickly checked the third-party status page, good job.
Okay.
Where the gaps were maybe, looks like there's no clear playbook for dealing with memory leaks, specifically in Docker containers.
Identifying weaknesses.
Exactly. And then concrete recommendations. Things like maybe document the escalation path for getting help from AWS support or create a runbook for this memory leak scenario. So it's not just practice, it's actively finding holes in your process, your docs, your knowledge, and driving actual improvements. That feedback loop sounds incredibly powerful.
It really is. And to really bring this home, let's walk through that payment gateway crisis example Van Linde uses.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
So the GPT kicks it off. 150 users report payment failures during peak tutoring hours. PayPal claims no outage, but your service instance has 95% memory usage. Bookings are plummeting.
Oof. 95% memory, and plummeting bookings, you immediately feel that business impact. The pressure's on.
Totally. So what's the team's likely first move?
Check the payment processor status, right?
Yep.
PayPal in this case.
Yep. Logical first step. The GPT would respond. PayPal status page shows green. No issues reported. Rules out an external problem.
Okay, so it's got to be internal. Next, check our own monitoring. CloudWatch, Grafana, whatever.
Exactly. And boom, there it is, that critical 95% memory utilization on their own payment service instance. Strong signal.
Right. Problem's definitely in our house.
Yeah.
What's a quick fix attempt?
Often, the first instinct with high resource usage is just restart the service.
Yeah, the classic turn it off and on again.
So the team tries that. The GPT might say, okay, restarting the service brings memory usage down temporarily. Payment failures decrease.
Ah, temporary relief. Mm. But the root cause is still lurking.
Precisely. Memory usage will likely start climbing again soon. It's a bandage, not a cure.
So that forces them to dig deeper. What's next? Logs?
Could be logs. Mm-hmm. Analyze the application logs for that specific payment service. And in this simulation, bingo.
What do they find?
The logs reveal a misconfigured caching loop. Just eating up memory like crazy. Once they identify that and fix the configuration, simulated incident resolved.
Okay. And the really important part, like Van Linde stresses, isn't just fixing the fake problem. It's the learning, right?
Exactly. The team doesn't just walk away. They update their deployment checks to catch this kind of memory leak earlier next time.
Proactive.
And they write a runbook, clear, documented steps for how to diagnose and fix memory optimization issues if this or something like it happens again.
That's real tangible improvement from just a short focused exercise. And notice how even in that small example, you see the knock-on effects.
Yeah.
Memory leak, payment failures, dropping bookings. It forces you to think about how interconnected things are, even in these micro scenarios, not just isolated components.
That's a great point. It really highlights how these micro tabletops turn theory into practical skills and actual process improvements. And Van Linde suggests this isn't the end point. As teams get better,
they can scale it up.
Yeah, they can evolve beyond just their own team.
Makes sense. Once, say, the back-end team gets good at these, maybe bring in the front-end team, or SREs.
Precisely. Cross-team drills are the next step. You could design a scenario that needs the security team and the infrastructure team to work together closely.
Ah, breaking down those silos. Building those communication bridges before a real crisis hits.
Exactly. Helps build understanding, smooths out communication pathways.
And then, could you go even bigger? Simulate failures that affect multiple services at once.
Absolutely. Shared scenarios. Maybe simulate something like a partial AWS region outage that causes cascading failures across several interdependent services. See how multiple teams coordinate that response.
Wow. Okay, that definitely ramps up the complexity and the need for smooth inter-team comms. And Van Linde even mentions bringing in outsiders.
Yeah, potentially. The final stage could be external simulations involving key vendors, maybe even customers in, say, crisis communication drills.
Okay, that's pretty advanced, making sure everyone's aligned when things go really wrong and impact external parties.
It's all about ensuring clear communication across the board during a major incident.
It feels like a really structured way to build up that incident response muscle. Start small, focused, individual teams, then progressively expand to cover more complex scenarios, more teams, even external partners.
Well put.
So let's bring it all together. Why should our listeners really pay attention to this shift towards micro tabletops? What's the bottom line?
At the end of the day, it's about being more efficient and more effective in how you prepare for and respond to incidents. It's like Van Linde says, these frequent targeted drills, they help turn that book knowledge into actual ingrained muscle memory.
Right.
And that directly translates to reducing your MTTR, your mean time to repair, when real incidents hit. Because your teams practiced similar stuff, they react faster, more decisively.
And that faster recovery, that's crucial.
Yeah.
Minimizes disruption, saves money, protects reputation.
Absolutely critical. But it's not just about reacting faster. It's also about being more proactive, isn't it?
How so?
Well, by constantly poking and prodding your systems and processes with these focused drills, you're just way more likely to find those hidden dependencies or those single points of failure that might otherwise just sit there invisible until a major crisis brings them crashing down.
Finding the weak spots before they break catastrophically.
Exactly. You can address those vulnerabilities before they cause big problems.
And beyond the tech benefits, faster recovery, finding weaknesses, there's a cultural aspect too, isn't there? Something about how the team operates.
Oh, definitely. Consistent practice like this fosters a culture of continuous learning, continuous improvement.
Yeah.
It creates a safe space, a place to try things, to experiment with different approaches, even to make mistakes in a controlled setting, and learn from them without the insane pressure and high stakes of a live P1 incident.
Builds confidence then. Makes the team stronger overall.
Builds confidence, strengthens resilience, makes everyone better prepared. Van Linde wraps up that section with a really spot-on quote. In crisis management, practice doesn't make perfect. It makes preparedness.
I like that. Preparedness, not perfection. It sums up the value nicely. So yeah, it really seems like these micro tabletops offer a path to getting that knowledge and skill quickly without the overwhelming nature of the old ways.
It really does. So wrapping up our deep dive here, the main takeaway. Micro tabletop exercises, especially when you factor in the cool potential of AI facilitators like ChatGPT, they offer a faster, much more focused, and frankly, more technically relevant way to build team resilience compared to those traditional, often clunky tabletop exercises we're used to.
Yeah, definitely seems that way. And for you listening in, maybe think about how this approach could benefit your own teams, the specific systems you manage.
Right.
Could adding some micro tabletops bring more real practical preparedness into your regular workflow, maybe for those complex Kubernetes clusters you're wrangling?
Or even honing the response to, say, those nonstop phishing attacks everyone seems to face.
Good point. Which leads us to a final thought to leave you with.
Okay.
If consistently practicing for these small-scale incidents can dramatically improve how you handle the big crises, what other seemingly small habits or exercises might give you surprisingly big improvements in your own work, your field?
That's interesting.
Maybe take a moment to reflect on that power of focused, frequent practice. Where else could it apply? Might unlock some unexpected paths to getting better at what you do.